Well, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to receive your monthly emails that you send out and kind of keep track of what's going on this year for you. So that's wonderful. So from Massachusetts, but what if it goes viral? This question was recently posed at a staff meeting at the e-commerce clothing company where I work. It concerned a promotion code that had an especially nice discount attached to it. It was intended to be used for a limited customer service purpose, but the finance team certainly did not want it to go viral. That would mean heavier discounts than were anticipated, a massive giveaway, which of course they did not want to happen. So most people now are familiar with the contemporary use of that word, viral. Typically today it's used in the context of something that spreads rapidly on the internet. One person sees it, shares it, and then 15 more people share it, and pretty soon the multiplication effect is rather amazing. And if you happen to be the one person who hasn't seen or heard it, you can feel a little bit silly. So that word viral has the same root as virus, which, as we know, viruses can expand quite rapidly in a host, create illness, and then spread from person to person. Each virus has kind of its own unique set of physical properties and requirements that allow it to multiply. The amazing part in both cases is that the sharing occurs one by one person to the next person to the next person. Without that one-on-one interaction, the virus or the viral thing is not able to replicate too far. It'll be contained and limited in its impact and its scope. The importance of human contact just cannot be underestimated. Jesus had begun his ministry in Galilee and called his first disciples. He was traveling extensively from town to town, teaching, preaching, and healing. Matthew 4:24 says that the news about him spread all over Syria, and many, many people were brought to him for healing, and large crowds began to follow him from town to town. How energizing and exhausting that time period must have been. Let me read from Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus then continued by calling his 12 disciples to him and giving them the authority to heal and preach, so to spread the message of salvation, person to person. This is Jesus' way to work person to person. And not just in biblical times, but today as well. So where does that leave you and me? Is it only for others, or is this a message for us? It's so inspiring to hear Jen talk today for all she's doing with her life in service and education with the kids in her classrooms, one to one. She obviously has such a passion for teaching, for ministry, and for the Lord, and that he led her there. And I'm not even sure how many years have you been living there for two, but you've been involved even longer than that, he led her there, and she was willing to take that risk. You know, missionary work comes in a lot of different forms. using the unique gifts and talents of each person that God calls for his glory, spreading that gospel one to one. This past week, I dearly remembered a Korean missionary named Sue Rice, who passed away 2 weeks ago. She and her husband were, he was a Presbyterian minister, and they were in Korea for 16 years with their 4 children. And their children were my friends and classmates. She, when she went to Korea, became fluent in Korean and shared the joys and the sufferings of the Korean people through a ministry to university students first, and then founding the House of Grace, which was a home for unwed mothers. And then with Koreans who were struggling for justice under a military dictatorship in the 70s. She started a simple Monday night prayer group of missionaries that turned into a gathering, a weekly gathering that sought to illuminate the world, to the world, the challenges facing the Korean democracy movement, putting all of these 8 missionaries and their families in real personal peril. Their story is told in a book that she co-authored called More Than Witnesses, How a Small Group of Missionaries Aided Korea's Democratic Revolution. I was going to say that this book was in the library, but I think it may be in the possession of Louise Scott. Sue Rice continued her life of witness upon her return to the U.S. by starting a transcultural family counseling center in Oklahoma, and then upon retiring in Vermont, working with various groups to support those who were marginalized. I just say this morning as a witness to her life and how God, she answered God's calling in her life in a foreign missionary setting. But here in Massachusetts, how are we, you and me, living our lives with this same missionary spirit? Are we looking and seeking out opportunities to be a witness in both our actions and our words? Do we understand ourselves and our spiritual gifts well enough to know where we can be most useful? And are we willing to answer God's call on our lives? Each person's ministry can be so different, and that's so good. We are living in very bold times. And Jesus sends us out into our community, our families, and our workplaces to communicate the message of his grace and his salvation. But today, as in Jesus' time, it all comes down to one-on-one contact. Let's be grounded in the Word of God together, and then take advantage of the support that we have here in this church and in this community, and find ways one-on-one to be a living witness to God's goodness in our lives. And as the opening song we sang together, which was, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," that prayer that he will answer for us with giving us opportunities here to be Massachusetts missionaries. And maybe, just maybe, it'll go viral. You never know. So today, the last thing that we want to do together is to spend a couple moments on our Kenyan missionaries who are about to embark. And some of them have been out working outside, and you may want to give them word, if they're not already back there, that we're about ready for them.